Welcome to the Generous Business Owner Podcast, where business owners gain inspiration and encouragement to live a legacy, not just leave one. And now your hosts, Jeff Thomas, Alan Barnhart, and Jeff Rutt.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's Generous Business Owner Podcast. My name is Jeff Thomas, and I have my co-host with me today, Jeff Rutt. Say hello to the people, Jeff.
Hello to the people.
Hello to the people. Power to the people on, you know, this is, we're just kind of getting into election season. So power to the people. And we have a very special guest with us today, Greg Holsinger. Say hello, Greg.
Hi, everyone.
Greg, this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, we have people that have had different experiences. Greg had a big corporate career and then took over a family business and then had an exit. So we got all the bases covered today. So this is going to be a lot of fun. It sounds like we need three episodes, probably, but we'll do as much as we can today. Jeff, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Greg, start us off with what was it like growing up in Greg's house? And as tell us a little bit about the early days of Greg, maybe spiritual formation of your part of generosity, and then your faith walk.
Sure. And it's great to be here. I'm from Central Pennsylvania originally. We spent time in my youth in New England and then settled back into Pennsylvania. But I was very fortunate to grow up in a Christian environment, Christian family, come from a line of educators, farmers, and I believe my great-grandfather was a pastor. Conservative Central Pennsylvania, there were four of us in our family. My mom and dad were married. When they were very young, they were sophomores in college, and so I was the first of four. Very, as you can imagine, if they're in college and being parents, it was, you know, not extravagant family life in our early years, but great family life. We went to church, and we then moved to New England. My father was in consumer packaged goods, and we ended up moving back to Pennsylvania because my parents wanted to raise us in Central Pennsylvania with the Christian environment that they were brought up in, which was Anabaptist Church of the Brethren.
Okay.
Yeah. So in my young life, we were involved in church in a lot of ways. We sang in the choirs. My mom led the youth choir. My father and mother both sang in the choirs. And, you know, we had a lot of, I think, some good examples of them, of giving their time and talents and willingness to be there. I was also exposed to my mom's wanting to show Christian love. She would invite challenged people that we had met either through church or in the community for dinner to our home. And that was really neat. I can remember in Massachusetts having a woman by the name of Wilhelmina that would come to our home every Thursday night. And we would, as kids, kind of laugh, you know, because she would do kind of rude things at the table. But, you know, this was the showing of Christian love to people that were really challenged. So that in later life, that was quite an imprint on. I had something to look back and really see how we should emulate and give Christian love. So very blessed to have that early church environment. I was baptized in a creek in Central Pennsylvania, and that was a pretty moving experience. And so from that, I started wandering, and I wandered pretty far from the church. I went to college. Sports were always a big part of my youth. We played football and basketball in high school, and that was big. I tried my hand at basketball in college. I didn't go too far. I found my ceiling. And My brother passed, who was a year younger than me, right about that time, and I kept wandering, and God really had no elbow room in my life. You know, God really had no part in what I was doing, and it really wasn't till I moved. I was in consumer packaged goods then, and was moved around the country. Ended up on the West Coast, and came home for vacation one time, and my mom said, I'm interested in growing the business, and I helped her from a marketing standpoint do some direct mail, and Harley-Davidson answered, the motorcycle company. And that really piqued my interest. And so I started conversing with Harley Davidson from the West Coast, and they were based in York, Pennsylvania. At least their manufacturing plant was had interest. And so before you knew it, I was moving home and joining my mom's very small company, which was a childcare business. And so that was my start with Ugro, and that was 1995. But I guess getting back to the Christian life, it just really was not part of my day-to-day. I believed that I was a Christian. I believed that I would go to heaven, but it really wasn't. I didn't pray. I didn't attend church. I had no Christian community to lean on. So, that was my story at that time.
Wow. It sounds like, though, it's interesting that the way you described your mom, the way she treated some of the other folks that you had in your home, with compassion, with empathy, and with really, you could say, generosity.
Yeah, it was a great model for us as kids. And I don't know that we recognized it at that time. We were pretty young. But my dad would come home from work and it was almost more work to entertain someone who's challenged, but yet this is showing Christian love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Which Church of the Brethren was it?
We were at the Palmyra Church of the Brethren.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar. Yeah, wow. I got to catch up with you offline. I could do the Lancaster County game in who's who in farming and in churches and just your background. But take us through some of those college years, how you met your wife, starting a family. Take us through some of those years.
Sure. College years were a lot of fun. I attended Elizabethtown College. I thought I could play basketball there in Division III, and yet I did find my ceiling and ended up not playing. But it was a great time. It was a small school, great friends that I still have to today. Really enjoyed my 4 years there. Graduated from there. Started my career with General Foods Corporation in the consumer packaged goods industry, and it was a great start for me. I think it was great in that I could kind of learn on someone else's dime if I look back. You know, you're learning how to operate as an adult. You're learning how to operate in business. You're learning how to talk and communicate. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of electronic communication going on. This is 1984 when I graduated college. So, you know, but it was a great environment. I got promoted a couple of times. I left General Foods and went to the AC Nielsen company, the TV ratings people. Spent some time with them. Enjoyed that. Did my first bit of true marketing, and that was to the Hispanic market at that time in California. And then from there, I went to a company called Helene Curtis, and they're the shampoo people, Swab Shampoo, for example, and was involved. They're based in Chicago and was working with them out of California. And that's when that's about that time that I got interested in my mom's company.
So, okay. So we make that transition now. Did you get married along the way? When did that all happen in the family?
I met my wife, Gina, in 1995. We met at the beach in New Jersey, where we now have a home. And we met in Avalon, New Jersey, and it's always been a special place for us. But that's where we met. And we met later in life. Neither of us had been married, and we met when we were both 34. And so we proceeded to pretty quickly get married, start a family, and I've been very blessed in that regard. We have three daughters.
And that's when you'd move back, right? So 95, that's about the same time as you got involved in the family business, right? So which came first, the family business? Is that what got you back to the East Coast?
Yeah, the family business was why I moved back to the East Coast. And I think God was working on me or with me or through me, but it was really the best thing for me. And I was really interested in having the opportunity to grow a business. I was really interested in, I don't know that I'm such an entrepreneur by nature, but I'm a visionary with probably really, really high execution skills. And so, when it took me about, I'd say truly 8 years to get my feet and really know the industry, know the business, know how to provide outcomes for children. And I'll get into really what made us special and what our special sauce was. But it was the best thing for me personally to move back to where I grew up and be in the community that I think that could really help me help myself and help God work within me to become a better man.
So that was a big transition in multiple ways, right? You're moving back from kind of, I don't know, 9 years in the corporate world, basically. It's scaled organizations, moving from California back to where you came from. You meet your future wife, get married pretty quickly, take over the family. I mean, all of those are pretty big traumatic life events that happen in a pretty short period of time. Let's take the family business angle, because I guarantee you we've got a lot of people running on the treadmill going, oh, we're coming back to take over the family business. That didn't go so well for me. You know, how did it go for you?
You know, ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's anyone that's involved in a family, true family business knows it can be very difficult and it can be very rewarding. It was okay for the first 8 years or so, and I was general manager. My mother was owner, full owner, and we had different ways of going about what we did. And I was really interested in building structure in the great programs that she had for children. And what we did was provide preschool and childcare, and really focused on kindergarten preparedness. So. We think we had the best programs in the markets that we served, and we tried, and that was our goal. And then we got to the point where we knew we could only do that and scale it through people. And so our goal eventually became to have a workplace that people could really thrive and want to be, versus down the street or in the other preschool. So my mom and I just had a different way of looking at things. It didn't make hers wrong or mine right. And eventually it came to the point where I really wanted to take over, and I did buy the business from her. But you're so right. It family businesses are not easy. And I think the best family businesses that I've seen have really brought in some facilitators from the outside and tried to facilitate a structure that everyone can work from and define roles very clearly and expectations. And that really helps, I think.
Well, Jeff Rutt, I know you're thinking something's running through your brain on a family business because your son's in the business. What's running through your brain? I just got to let you react to that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you, Greg, you figured it out. I mean, a lot of it's about, I always say, communication leads to understanding, which leads to trust, which leads to respect, and it all starts with that communication. And it sounds like you did that pretty well.
Well, for parents, so you and your son, or my mother and I, you know, first of all, there's love, and of course, trust, and that's half the battle. I think a lot of the attraction for business owners to bring in their kids is that trust factor. I mean, you're not second guessing motivations, or you know that there is such a trust.
Yeah.
So. We tried to define what we were doing at the, you know, I wouldn't be fully truthful if I didn't say we had some tough times too. And, you know, when you have two strong-willed I don't want to use type A, but, you know, really strong-willed people that are sure of where they're coming from, it can be really tough.
Yeah.
And it was tough for us. And I would not be, again, truthful if I said it was all easy. The actual sale, when I did purchase, I give my mom so much credit because she allowed me to do it over 5 years to purchase the business, and that was huge for me to be able to do that. And so you know, I just so thank her for that. You know, I just think it was easier going forward then for us to scale and grow and yep, to have one voice, and that really helped.
Yeah, having her let go, right, where that role got defined, so it's not, you know. Which person do I follow? Was that an issue? What if you don't mind sharing? You know, what was the toughest challenge that you're willing to share, kind of through that period?
Well, Jeff, you hit the nail on the head. Having the one voice, you know, having two voices is tough. And if someone's if an organization's used to asking someone, you know, which way to go, and then the second person's trying to say we want to go this way, but the first person's trying to say we want to go that way. You know, that was the toughest part. It really was. And then it undermines the trust and love that you have as parent and son. And, you know, that's when you know changes need to happen here, because you don't want to break up the family for the sake of the business. And that would be the worst thing.
So how many years did were you involved in the business you grew up?
It ended up being 26 years.
26. So what year did you exit?
I exited 3 years ago at the end of 2020.
Okay. Now that's a whole nother can of worms.
That's got to be
talk about. Okay.
Got to be a story there.
Yeah, go ahead and tell that story. We're here. Let's do it.
On the sale?
Yeah.
Okay. So
in COVID, in the middle of COVID.
Oh, you're so right, Jeff. Oh, wow. This is really interesting. And I was in the CEO peer group called Vistage for 16 years. And this story is kind of has made its rounds in Vistage. Let me back up. I think God was nudging me in retrospect to do something different. I'm one of those people that are 100% in on anything. And even though my faith walk had increased quite a bit and I had been involved very much in my local church and, treasurer for 12 years and, I'm still earning my way into heaven. And so I think God's nudging me to be a different person. And so all of a sudden I meet an investment banker and pretty soon I've signed a contract with an investment banker to market our company. And I had interviewed 5 investment bankers from New York and I guess Baltimore and Philly. And I ended up with one at Birmingham, Alabama. That's who I went with. And of all places, and little did I know, the founder was a Christian. I didn't know it. And, in retrospect, it was perfect. But they marketed our company, and I had a deal with a company that is the number 9 player in our industry. I had grown Ugrow to be number 40 in the country, and so the number 9 player approached. They made an offer, and I think we had over 20 offers at that time.
Wow.
This was a really good offer. I thought I liked the company. There was a lot about the synergies that worked well. And so my wife and I took a month trip to Florida, and we had an LOI in place, and the deal was going to happen by April 1st. And this was in 2020. This was the tail end of 2019 heading into 2020. And all of a sudden COVID starts. And our deal, it was backed by JP Morgan, and the deal fell apart, the world fell apart, and all of a sudden my company went from a 96% occupancy to 10% occupancy overnight.
My God.
Overnight. I mean, when I say overnight, it was less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I know a lot of companies were in the same boat, and the world closed up. And so We ended up providing, I guess we had about 9% of our students stay because they were involved with emergency services, and we kept about 4 or 5 of our schools open at the time. The rest were closed. It was just a really tough time, as you all know. Anybody listening knows it was a tough time as a business owner. Some businesses were okay. Some industries were okay, but service industries were just hit hard. So we were, in essence, shut down. And so I grouped our senior team, and I grouped the next level of management, and we stayed, and we met every day, and I worked harder that spring than I've ever worked to get our company prepared to come back from COVID. And we did. We opened up, I believe the date was June 9th of 2020, after having been closed down since March. And we reopened. We maintained about 83% of our client base that had left us, and so we had to convince them that we were safe, and it was okay to come back. And oh my goodness, praise God, we were able to do it. I wasn't sure how I was going to get past 4th of July, actually. So I just really wasn't sure how we were going to get. So we went from having a sale of the business to not knowing if the business would be able to survive.
Wow.
What states were you in, Greg?
Only Pennsylvania, Jeff.
All in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah. 14 locations.
I'm sure you know this. You always got to be number one in something. Pennsylvania, I think, was number one in shutting down the most businesses. At least that's what we were a part of a builder group of builders all over the country. And it was us in Michigan. We're gunning for first place on having the most businesses shut down.
Yeah, it was such a shame. And yeah, anyway, we all know what it was like. We came back though, and you know, I give our team a lot of credit. We all worked hard to get, you know, we had to convince our parents that it was safe to come back.
Right.
I think if you can kind of remember how things were then,
No one knew
how dangerous it was. Luckily, children weren't that affected that much through COVID.
Right.
They really weren't.
Right.
So what's happened? What's the discussion like with the buyer through all this?
Buyer was having its own problems nationally.
Nope.
They had hundreds and hundreds of units, and they were really having problems nationally. So long story short, we went back out to market.
Okay.
We went back out to market same year. It's about 12 months later. But we went back out to market in August of 2020. By October of 2020, we had 16 offers again. And this time, the number two player came and called the Learning Care Group. And they put a great offer in for us. I met with their senior team, and they flew out to Hershey to meet me. And, you know, I thought it was a great situation for the company. I really still felt it was the right way to go, and I still do today. I think it was the right thing to do. And so we concluded our sale 12/31 of 2020, got done pretty quick. And so as of January 1st, I was unemployed for the first time.
We deal with a lot of business owners selling companies. That's kind of our niche in the wealth management business, and who want to be generous. And it is a very dangerous time for business owners after they sell. The issues of identity and all those things, usually not a money problem, but some psychologist that we've dealt with over the years with families says, you know, when you move that mobile, everything shakes. So some people do that adjustment very well. Others really struggle. How was that transition for you?
Well, I got good advice when I at post-sale was to decompress. Really tried to focus the first year on decompressing. And yeah, I don't know how it would be for either of you, but I mean, that's hard. It's when you're moving 100 miles an hour and then you try to decompress, it's really hard. But luckily for me, I ended up going to a men's retreat a few months after the sale. And I really felt the presence of God like I haven't felt in a long, long time. And it was a really turning point for me in terms of what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I just felt like God was nudging me again to move in terms of just working within the kingdom and seeing what I could do in the kingdom and being a part of it. So I just hadn't felt that before. And I'm so thankful. I just praise God that I can be part of the kingdom and be part of his plan. You know, so after that, I started doing some due diligence. And one of the guys I called, I ended up calling Peter Greer. And Peter suggested to me that I really try to repurpose through an organization called Halftime. And long story short, I did. I concluded my Halftime year last March of 2023, and great experience. I'll give a plug for Halftime right now. If there's anyone listening that is at all interested in repurposing their life for kingdom work, that's a great place to start.
Did you work with Lloyd Reeb, Greg?
I know Lloyd, yeah. He was one of the guys when I was, again, doing my due diligence on Halftime. He and I spent a Zoom call together, and what a man he is. And I know his brother Jim here in Central Pennsylvania, Reeb. And, I'm on a board that Jim had just left, and so our paths crossed a little bit. But Lloyd's such an impressive guy.
He sure is, yeah. And he's been able to coach and mentor. He's very wise at the way he asks questions and really draws out what's important in your life.
We've had him on the podcast.
Yes, we sure did.
Listen.
Yeah,
go back and listen.
We'll put in the notes which episode that was. But I too would encourage you if you've never read the book Halftime or Success to Significance, We'll put that in the show notes as well. Just it had a huge impact on my life as well. And Greg, I couldn't agree more.
So, Greg, what were the big things you got out of that? What were the big headlines out of halftime for you specifically?
Well, you focus on a roadmap, and that appealed to me quite a bit coming out of the business because I was involved in one of the things I prided myself in my business was the business plan that we lived by. You know, we adopted the EOS plan that it helped us grow and the entrepreneurial operating system. Those don't know EOS. And, you know, I appreciated that halftime had a roadmap that you really focused on. And then the platform that I came out of that I'd like to try to work on, I'm still working on it. It's not a fully finished version. I don't know that anybody's life is fully finished. But, you know, I fell back on the three values that I've always had within my company. And so, you know, which for my company was really to serve, to grow, and to be positive. Those are the three values we had at UGrow. And what I've done is my service life here in the kingdom, you know, I do some local outreach with a commercial property that I have here in Hershey, and I provide event space for Christian organizations free of charge. I'm very involved in my church. I'm very church-centric. I'm at the First United Methodist Church in Hershey, and I've been treasurer there for a long time, and you know, on the leadership team, and just really enjoy what we've got going on right now, and how we as Methodists, I think nationally, have kind of blown ourselves up, but I think we're doing okay in Hershey, and trying to make an impact in the community. And then I serve, I try to get my head into poverty and try to help the needy. And so two things there locally, we're building a new food bank in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And then secondly, I'm on the board of a transitional housing group called Echoes in Elizabethtown. And so I really have enjoyed my time thinking about how people are in poverty and how to sustainably help them to help themselves. And, you know, I know, Jeff, in Hope International, I mean, you're all about helping people help themselves. And that is a great model to think about. So those are some of the things I'm doing from a serve standpoint. And from an encouragement, I love the character of Barnabas in the Bible. And I just I just think he was such an encourager. And that's kind of who I want to model myself after. So I can do that through support. And so I look at local organizations, national and international organizations. Through halftime, I had a chance to get to Africa and see a couple of great organizations. And I saw Hope International live in Rwanda. Jeff, that was really neat. I got to see Bridge to Rwanda, which was really neat. They were a halftime organization. And it's so great seeing people in action. And so I encourage anybody, when you're thinking through who you want to help, it sure does help to see them on ground zero and to see them every day in what they do. And so, I think in terms of local, national, and international support, that's what I'm doing now. I'm also spending time with just my spiritual growth and trying to be a better Christian so I can be a better example to those around me. So, you know, I've never taken time to do devotionals in the morning, and it may sound dumb to some Christians, but I just never did. And now I can. And oh my goodness, the freedom is in schedule is unbelievable for those that you're thinking about this. And, you know, just to be in the Word every morning is life changing. So, you know, I'll stop talking there, but what a great opportunity right now to be in the kingdom and trying to do what He wants me to do.
Yeah, so kudos to you for going and getting involved directly instead of, I think so many times, and I know this is a podcast about generosity, we assume that we have to work really hard at our business, we have to do all the due diligence, we have to check out every possible thing that can come at us, do all the feasibility, and you know, when it comes to charity, too many times, I think we just write a check and just assume, well, that's a good thing. I don't need to worry about it too much. Of course, it's good. But kudos to you for really getting involved on the board at the local level, getting involved, you know, rolling up your sleeves and then going to Rwanda. Jeff, we need to put in the show notes the link to Hope Trips. Getting on, like you said, ground zero. Let's taste it, smell it, experience it, really see what's happening on the front line. And you can tell so much more than you can from a video or a brochure or a pamphlet of what's really effective, what's truly loving well the families that we're looking to serve.
Hey, Greg, you talked about this. You hinted at this early in our discussion here. But I thought it was really interesting that you're focused on poverty. And it makes me think about that story sitting around the dinner table that you kind of alluded to earlier. Have you talk about connecting those dots if they should be connected?
It's so funny you say that, you know, as a former business owner and as someone who is very open to God presenting a business opportunity to me, I'm trying to leave, again, that phrase, a lot of elbow room for God to work within me. And I'm looking for a sustainable business that can help support, you know, us well into the next couple of generations. But I'm looking at a mealtime, maybe a mealtime app that would help young families use mealtime for the good. And so it's just something that's on the front end of, but I loved what my mom did. And I loved the fact that it's time where families can really come together. And so I'm just thinking it through right now, but Jesus used mealtime for so much. And I just feel like we can too. So that's what I'm thinking about right now. I don't know if that connects the dots, Jeff, but it's one of the things I'm thinking about.
Well, I think that's been one of the most fun things that I've personally enjoyed from doing this podcast is just, it's just to me amazing, unlimited creativity from God, the way he takes everyone through unique experiences. And like you said, it's like, hey, I'm just a kid. I'm just showing up at dinner. I'm not inviting these people. And, you know, but that was a very unique experience. Very few people have those kind of folks sitting around the dinner table with their family. And then, you know, how God might use that later in your life. Clearly, he's motivated you in a very unique way to use the dinner table and the alleviation of poverty. And then you've got this sort of process brain that you talked about, this execution thing that he's using. So it's just so cool to watch how God uses these skills he gave you and the experiences he gave you on a journey. And I love the way you're just telling the story, like, hey, man, I'm still on the journey. So I appreciate your really just sharing those parts of the story that are, hey, I'm still in development, you know, and I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people listening. Like, you know, you don't always have it all figured out. It's a process. So you're 3 years into this, what else is kind of on the hot plate for you? What else would you like to figure out in the next couple of years?
Yeah, and this gets real personal. My family, I really want to make sure that the generations following my kids are set up for a Christian life. And so I'm really thinking through how that works with how do we use the blessings that God has provided for us and model that out in the next few generations. So if you would have asked me when I sold the business, I had it on my 2021 calendar. I was going to have a family meeting by the end of the year, and it never happened. Mm. So I'm still thinking through how the family comes together and thinks through generosity and provide opportunities for the kids to research what an organization that they might like to support. And this is not tough. Lots of families doing it now. I'm not there yet. So if there's something I really want to work on, it's the faithful giving of my entire family and having them join in instead of me just cutting a check. I really want them to be involved.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that because I think that is a common refrain for the families we work with. The number one question is, you know, how do I encourage the next generations? And for most business owners who've had an exit, that, you know, it's a first generation problem, if you want to call it a problem, of this level of stewardship. And so there's not really a model that was given before other than, okay, around the kitchen table. Okay, but if I've got other resources and exited a business, if I have financial, how do I use those? So that's a We know some people that are specialists in that area, so maybe we should have them on the podcast to share some of those. And we are trying to have events and that kind of thing early days for under sort of the Generous Business Owner heading, where we're going to address some of those things. We actually have an event we're trying to put together right now on that. So stay tuned, Greg. We might have some resources for you and the other folks listening on that. As we sort of get to the end of our time together, Jeff, you want to kind of ask maybe our final question?
Yeah. What's one idea that you would share, or one thought you would share with our listeners that would be beneficial for them? Is there maybe a different place on that roadmap that you described earlier, but would be a helpful, you know, helpful piece of advice?
Yeah, I think I'll say two, if you don't mind, Jeff. I think the first is that any giving, and this is probably not a new thought, but it's really for you and not from you. And, mm-hmm. you know, we all get so mm-hmm. much more out of giving, whether it's our time, talents, or resources. We, you know, it's just a multiplying effect of what you get back. Even in your business, if there are business owners listening, you know, some of the biggest joys I've ever had is hearing how grateful employees were for the positive work environment. And so, you know, that's just such a neat thing that is, you're going to get it back. And then I guess secondly, fight any correlation you might have between gifts and worthiness.
Mm.
You know, go from I am worthy to God is good. And, I'm not worthy. You know, God provided this. We are so blessed. And so God is good. And, you know, that's hard, and you need to fight it. And we're all human beings, and we just need to fight that correlation.
Unpack that just a little bit more, Greg.
So, you know, I said it earlier. I think it relates almost to the, you know, I can earn my way to heaven, and mm-hmm. you know, I do all these good things for the community, or I do these good things for church, or I do these good things. I live a good life, and you know, it's about the ego, and the more we can cut our ego out of what we do, the better off we'll be. And I struggle with it. And, you know, it's really a blind spot for so many of us. And as so many of us just have our heads down, and we're doing what we want to do, and we're trying to grow, and we're trying to do, you know, we're just moving. And I you know, we have to stop and reflect, and, you know, God's good. God is so good. We are all blessed so much, especially in the United States. I mean, we just mm-hmm. until you travel like you do, Jeff, you know, you see where, anyway, I'm rambling a little bit there, but
I think the way I would maybe I love what you're saying, which is kind of give credit where credit is due. I think there's a temptation for us to, you know, this is biblical. Look at the things I've done. Okay. And, look what I did. And God's like, yeah, big fella, look where I put you. You know, you're a turtle on a fence post. You know what
so
I mean?
True. So true.
So I think human nature is to take credit in our flesh. And I think, that's part of the process of, sanctification is understanding who's in charge and, who delivers the blessing, you know? So I think that's a great, great reminder to stay humble in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ego is the enemy.
So true. And unfortunately, it's probably winning in society. So it takes an active battle to fight it. So thanks for that reminder, Greg. And, thanks for being with us. This has been, this has really been amazing. Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you both.
Greg, excellent advice. Really appreciate hearing your story. Look forward to catching up with you more on some local history. By the way, Ego is the Enemy, good book written by Ryan Holiday. If you have a chance to read that one, we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Oh, okay, great.
Thanks everybody, and thanks for tuning in to this week's Generous Business Owner podcast. Go to www.generousbusinessowner.com, sign up for the newsletter, and share this with a friend. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Generous Business Owner podcast with Jeff Thomas, Alan Barnhart, and Jeff Rutt. Make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can find the guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.